foreigner who served in the militia spent his first few weeks in learning how to love the Spaniards and in being exasperated by certain of their characteristics. In the front line, my own exasperation sometimes reached the pitch of fury. The Spaniards are good at many things, but not at making war. All foreigners alike are appalled by their inefficiency, above all their maddening unpunctuality. The one Spanish word that no foreigner can avoid learning is mañana, tomorrow, literally the morning. Whenever it is conceivably possible, the business of today is put off until mañana. This is so notorious that even the Spaniards themselves make jokes about it. In Spain, nothing from a meal to a battle ever happens at the appointed time. As a general rule, things happen too late, but just occasionally, just so that you shan't even be able to depend on the happening late, they happen too early. A train which is due to leave at 8 will normally leave at any time between 9 and 10, but perhaps once a week, thanks to some private whim of the engine driver, it leaves at 7:30. Such things can be a little trying. In theory, I rather admire the Spaniards for not sharing our northern time neurosis, but unfortunately I share it myself. After endless rumours, mañanas and delays, we were suddenly ordered to the front at 2 hours' notice, when much of our equipment was still unissued. There were terrible tumults in the quartermaster's store. In the end, numbers of men had to leave without their full equipment. The barracks had promptly filled with women, who seemed to have sprung up from the ground, and were helping their menfolk to roll their blankets and pack their kit bags. It was rather humiliating that I had to be shown how to put on my new leather cartridge boxes by a Spanish girl, the wife of Williams, the other English militiaman. She was a gentle, dark-eyed, intensely feminine creature who looked as though her life work was to rock a cradle, but who as a matter of fact had fought bravely in the street battles of July. At this time she was carrying a baby which was born just 10 months after the outbreak of war and had perhaps been begotten behind a barricade. The train was due to leave at 8, and it was about 8:10 when the harassed, sweating officers managed to marshal us in the barrack square. I remember very vividly the torchlit scene, the uproar and excitement, the red flags flapping in the torchlight, the massed ranks of militiamen with their knapsacks on their backs and their rolled blankets worn bandolier-wise across the shoulder, and the shouting and the clatter of boots and tin pannikins, and then a tremendous and finally successful hissing for silence. And then some political commissar standing beneath a huge rolling red banner and making us a speech in Catalan. Finally, they marched us to the station, taking the longest route, 3 or 4 miles, so as to show us the whole town. In the Ramblers, they halted us while a borrowed band played some revolutionary tune or other. Once again, the conquering hero stuff. Shouting and enthusiasm, red flags and red and black flags everywhere. Friendly crowds thronging the pavement to have a look at us, women waving from the windows. How natural it all seemed then, how remote and improbable now. The train was packed with so tight with men that there was barely room even on the floor, let alone on the seats. At the last moment, Williams's wife came rushing down the platform and gave us a bottle of wine and a foot of that bright red sausage which tastes of soap and gives you diarrhea. The train crawled out of Catalonia and on to the plateau of Aragon at the normal wartime speed of something under 20 kilometres an hour.